Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Hello, it is game day. Sabres and Hawks tonight. We are rolling along here from KeyBank Center, getting set for... Oh, boy, you don't look nearly as energetic as me. What's wrong, Marty?
Well, this is not a victory Friday for football, I'm a little...
Can I offset that?
Yes,
with
please.
Something incredibly
some
positive?
News. Give me some good news.
Thank you, Goo Goo Dolls. Thank you, Town Ballroom.
Oh, yeah, that's
thank
right.
you, Western New York, for your support of Feed More Western New York. $150,000 plus raised for Feed More Western New York because of the two sold-out benefit shows by the Goo Goo Dolls this week at Town Ballroom. Last night was amazing, absolutely incredible. It just felt like everyone stepping forward for the best reason here at this time of year. Amazing.
So. I know we're going to talk a lot about hockey today. Shayna Goldman is coming up at 12:10. Darren Pang, who is a Chicago Blackhawks analyst and all NHL stuff, will be here on the set at 12:30. So it'll be awesome. But let me ask you this, because I saw the Goo Goo Dolls years and years ago. I was playing for the Sabres. It's over 20 years ago. They were opening for Bon Jovi here in this building.
Yeah.
Now, if I had to ask you, because you're a music guy, allegedly, are the Goo Goo Dolls better now than they were when they were like 20 years ago? Or is it like just nostalgia? Or because some bands, like, they become even more entertaining and better, and their music kind of...
The answer is yes.
Okay.
And that's based on a number of things that I don't want to get too deep into. But my dream for this city and for this band before... You know, we got into building a new football stadium, was that when the current stadium closes, I thought the Goo Goo Dolls need to send this off with like a 3-4 hour show. Now, my goal is when the Goo Goo Dolls decide to call it a day, that their last ever show is a 3.5 to 4 hour set, split in two parts, of course, because their catalog is so gigantic, which speaks to your point. Now, as far as tonight, Hawks and Sabres, we're going to park football and park music for a minute. Look forward to our guests here. There's change tonight in a good way for Buffalo.
Yes.
Jason Zucker's back in after missing 9 games, and he'll skate on line 2, if you will, with Ryan McLeod, and it will also be a game that features Ukko Pekkalukkanen in goal, which is noteworthy because across the board in career splits, Lukkanen has had more success against the Hawks than any other team. He's 4-0 with like minute goals against and extraordinarily high save percentage. So these
it's like me against what team?
Anaheim.
Absolutely. Thank you. You got it right. Instant trivia. It is. Sometimes you play teams, and look, the Blackhawks have not been that good over the last few years here, so maybe it was a favorable matchup for Lukanen, but there's also, over a career, certain teams that, you know what, you feel really good about. It doesn't matter if Sidney Crosby got traded to the Chicago Blackhawks or Connor Bedard is on a tear. Like, you're going to feel really good about playing that team. And hopefully for Lukanen, that's that tonight, because he needs a big game. And the Sabres need a win. You're looking at starting the week with a great win against the Oilers and then a disappointing, very disappointing loss against the Flames. You got to get back to a win here, knowing Carolina isn't on Sunday. So that's that. So Lukanen has to be, using that fuel and that 4-0 record against the Hawks to his advantage. Now, you did talk about some lineup changes. Well, Zucker coming in, most likely done. being out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that leaves you with an extra body, an extra energy guy, a guy that could play the power play, and Jason Zucker. Mm-hmm. I don't know how Lindy Ruff is going to manage his minutes, but you have Don Thompson and Tuck. That line has been together since the third period of the Detroit game. They had, you know, Thompson has been playing much more forward and with more pace, and maybe Calgary wasn't a perfect example for that, but they're getting another chance. But now the biggest change is McLeod and Quinn will have Jason Zucker with them. Mm-hmm. That's where you need to see that support. Like in the 2-2 game against Calgary, maybe that's the line that comes in and gives you that third goal that you need instead of going backwards and ended up losing 6-2. So that's where Zucker's impact is going to be important.
So let's continue on that and hear from Jason as he comes back into this tonight.
Nice hearing a different voice. It doesn't matter whose it is, honestly. You know, so being out for 7 games, they've heard me, you know, being an idiot or yelling at them or, you know, saying anything. So I think that's honestly half the battle, is just hearing something different. You know, it has nothing to do with something profound that I'm going to say or, you know, is going to motivate the guys to a different level. It's just a different voice and just, you know, trying to, you know, just be a steady voice and, you know, try to move from there.
Zucker missed 8, I think I said 9 earlier, but so Jason comes back in, and it's an interesting perspective, just, you know, having different active voices in the room. I'm sure you can relate and understand what he's talking about there, and specifically to your point, though, on the line, like, maybe this is a boost for Jack Quinn, who has, you know, unfortunately found himself in a lengthy goalless drought again.
Yeah, and the confidence has kind of been slipping away from Jack Quinn a little bit. Like on the power play last year.
There's flashes every game,
right? There's flashes,
right?
Yes. And I talked and shown some example where he's taken the puck to the middle of the ice and attacked the scoring areas and look for Roseanne on the back door, like that play that ended up getting a big goal for Isaac Roseanne. But, you know, last game on the power play, he's in the middle, in the bumper position. He's getting a pass from his right side. He's a right-hand shot. He should be catching and release or one-timer. And he goes with a little backhand chip pass to the point.
Yep.
Somebody that's 25 feet away from the net from where you are, and there was nobody there. It went out of the zone. So you're like, Jack, show me the confidence. And maybe knowing that he wasn't the one taking off that line. Like, it could easily have been, okay, we're going to put Roseanne with McLeod and Zucker because Isaac has been moving his feet. Now, Lindy Ruff decided to keep Jack Quinn on that line, gave him a vote of confidence. Use that for good and move forward with it. So I think that's where Jack Quinn has to take that opportunity because Benson is coming back, potentially Sunday. So now you're like, okay, Benson's going to be a top six. Who in this group is going to come out of the top six? Well, at this point, I would look and say, most likely Jack Quinn. Well, if he has the opportunity, maybe he stays. Maybe it's Doan that drops down a little bit and Benson comes up on the top line. But all I'm saying is that this is a big game for Jack Quinn to show I want to remain in the top six because Benson will be coming back.
And to create roster space, obviously, with the activation of Zucker. Mason Gjertsen went on waivers yesterday.
Yep.
We'll find out this afternoon whether he clears and, you know, if an assignment is forthcoming to Rochester. Amherst are home tonight. More on that a little bit later on in the show. You mentioned Benson coming back. Norris continues to skate and makes nice progress there. And we look at Buffalo trying to get more offensive than what they were against Calgary the other night, which was just the 2 goals in the second period. But largely, you know, the first and third just didn't have that push. So we can do it in a fun way and look for anytime goal scorers tonight.
Yeah, well, hopefully, if there is a bathtub effect, as you said last game, it's not going to be at the other end of the ice. It's going to be at
first and third
over here.
Sabres shoot twice.
Want. Yeah. Okay, anytime goal scorer. Well, Jason Zucker said, you know, they haven't heard them for 8 games being an idiot or like all of that. I'm saying they're going to be yelling and screaming and enjoying the time where Jason Zucker scores in the game tonight. He's a plus 250 anytime goal scorer. That's my guy.
I'm going Matias Samuelsson.
Oh, boy. You know what?
Sammy's hot.
So hot right now.
So hot. He's plus 1,300. I think that's that is disrespectful to the torch that Samuelsson is carrying right now offensively for this defense group. So I'm going with Sammy at plus 1,300.
Why not? Why not exactly. Just give the puck to the confident guy.
Kind of my philosophy with going to concerts. Like, why not?
Why not?
Any day of the week, just go.
You know, there's Matthias Samuelsson there, or there's a concert there. This or that duffer. What do you do? I'm going with Matthias Samuelsson.
Yeah. I would just feel bad at a concert for the people behind Matthias Samuelsson.
Well, yeah, that too.
That's my concern.
You know, you were saying, like, about Benson, you know, potentially coming back.
Yeah.
And that's what Lindy Ruff says. He could have gone tonight. They wanted to give him maybe an extra couple of days.
Which is great.
Before Sunday. So that is awesome. Josh Norris, I saw him, like, skate this morning. You know, and he looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited about it. He's putting in the work, right, to get back and be able to help this team. So I'm excited about that, too.
Okay, so this is another situation where Buffalo welcomes in an opponent who played and lost the night before. The Hawks had their six-game point streak end last night with a third-period collapse against Seattle. They had led 2-0, so Chicago rolls in, and with our focus being on the Hawks, but specifically their home city. Our social media poll at Sabres Live today gives you these four options to this particular question. What is the best Chicago food item?
Wow.
Italian beef, deep dish pizza, Chicago hot dog, or Chicago popcorn mix?
Well, deep dish pizza is leading the way, over 50%. Italian beef is pretty good, but I will not touch the Chicago hot dog. It's like, when you read the description, it's a hot dog that's been dragged through the garden. I don't want anything that's been dragged through the garden. That's the way I look at it.
Shayna Goldman from The Athletic is here to tackle this topic first, and then who knows how many more after that. Shayna, your choice on our Twitter poll today. We can't hear her.
I mean, the show probably can, but we can't.
Right, I know. But it's important that we hear her.
Well, let's see if we can get that figured out.
I'm sorry, I'm never getting deep dish. That's not happening. The glizzy wins
okay,
every
Shayna,
day.
Okay, we didn't have you for a quick second. Start that again, because I want to hear where you are on the poll.
I will not stand for glizzy slander. Not today, not any day. Chicago dogs look incredible. Those toppings, everything about it, the neon kraut. I am 10 out of 10 in. That has to be the pick. Deep dish pizza is not pizza. That's like tomato soup and a bread bowl. That's no.
Amazing. That was worth it.
If glizzy audience... slander. I did not know that I was going to be like the person to bring the glizzy slander to this show today.
I'm disappointed. We're coming off a really great glizzy girl summer. And this is what we're starting with today? Unbelievable.
Sorry, my bad. I'll be better. You know what? I'm going to be Ryan O'Reilly. It's on me. I need to be better, and I'm going to be better. I promise. Yes.
Okay. There we go.
All right, Shayna. Give us two things, one for each team, that you would be focused on going into this Sabres-Hawks matchup tonight.
Okay, I would be focused on Connor Bedard and his speed. I think that's a big improvement from year to year. If you go through like NHL edge data, I did it prior to last night's game. So he had 20 plus mile per hour speed burst, I think, in total last year. And now this year he's already up to 70. So it shows that difference already in his game. And I think that's a big reason why he's getting to the quality areas more. And he's obviously scoring at a higher rate this year. So that's one thing to keep an eye on, is how they can contain that speed. The other part of it for the Sabres, I think, is the goaltending picture, right? Because I think there's been a lot of ups and downs this year, and now that there's multiple goalies ready and available to go, I'm going to be very curious how this situation unfolds and how everybody performs, because sometimes that pressure is a good thing, right? And it keeps everyone on their toes, and sometimes it goes completely the other way.
Is Connor Bedard their primary target? I know he usually is, but when you look at the Chicago power play, they're top 10 in the NHL right now. Is this just like you take care of Bedard and you're fine? Or, I mean, we've saw Bertuzzi having a better season, and you're seeing other guys really stepping up. So what's their power play like?
Yeah, I don't think it's you can only shade to Bedard, and that's how you contain them. And I think a lot of it has to do with Bertuzzi. Like you mentioned, he's really good in that net front area. I think the Blackhawks are just getting better as the year goes on the power play. So I think you have to keep your focus everywhere. It's never a good idea to shade towards one player, even if that one player is, say, Alex Ovechkin, right? Because there's just too many other weapons and players could be caught out of position. So you have to avoid that trap, because I think the Blackhawks are definitely better than one player, right? It's a lot different than seasons past.
Yeah. Actually, just looked at the numbers because I've got the notes in front of me. Bertuzzi's got 5 goals on the power play. Bedard's got 4. They both have 9 points, which leads the Blackhawks. So you, to your point, like Bertuzzi in front of the net seems to be getting a lot of good results. So it's not just about Bedard. It's not like Ovechkin where you just cover him and you hope that you can play 4-on-3 everywhere else. That's a little bit of a change. Oh, talking about Ovechkin. Am I to dream that maybe he can get to 40 this year? He's got 10. He had a hat trick last night. He's on pace for just a little bit under 40, I believe.
Yeah, that's an interesting one because I think the Caps got off to such a slow start to the season, and I think literally everybody is contributing to that. So him getting hot is always a good thing because I think once you see him get on track, and we saw it a couple seasons ago where he had that really slow start until December and then he flipped the switch and was on, you know, like a 40-something goal pace for the rest of the year. So I wonder if that's what's happening now a little bit more. But yeah, it's all about whether he can keep scoring goals in different ways, I think. And we saw that with their last game. He's, you know, coming up the right and scores that way. It's not just that one-timer. I think it's easier to defend it now. It's still a weapon. Like, let's call a spade a spade. But I think it's a little bit easier to defend it now because, you know, you look at the last couple seasons and he was missing more shots from that area. So it's just about can he keep surprising goalies.
Well, our favorite.
Or empty netters, because 60, he still gets his empty netters.
67 empty netters, which leads by a mile. However, he does not lead all-time in empty net points. He has 84 of them. Would you hazard a guess as to the two guys ahead of him?
Hmm.
Oh, boy. Wayne Gretzky's got to be one.
Wayne Gretzky is one empty net point ahead, but the all-time leader? Sidney Crosby at 88 empty net points.
I mean,
and when you think of how the paint, like Sid is always in the frame whenever the Penguins close out a game in an empty netter, it's unbelievable. So we'll see if Ovi closes in. However, I will say this. Given the length of the current contract for Brad Marchand in Philadelphia, or in Florida, he may still, over the course of the next half dozen years, close in. He is rapidly gaining ground on these guys with empty net points. So, anyway, all that being said, the Avalanche are the greatest team in the NHL right now. I'm not hearing any arguments from anyone on this. How is this season going to play out, Shana? They've reached the quarter pole with one regulation loss.
I mean, I think they need a little adversity. I think every single team needs a little bit of adversity before you get to the postseason. But I think what helps them is, like, they have a championship pedigree. They have guys who have won it before and all of that, which gets thrown out there. And sometimes you're like, okay, that's nonsense. But it does matter, right? I think you need to know to win in different ways. And I'm going to be very curious to see how they evolve as the season goes on. I think Jared Bednar is one of the best coaches in the NHL. And he doesn't get enough credit because he coaches superstar players. Like, yeah, I'm sure anyone would be great with Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon. But I think you have to really understand how to maximize star talent and how to complement them and to get them to be their best. And then to figure out the lineup around them. It's not as easy as it looks, I would imagine. So I think we saw the year that they won, they started mixing and matching things as the year went on because their playoff spot was kind of locked up. And they're like, okay, let's make sure we have options. So I want to see what they start doing to make sure they have options and to make sure everyone's firing on all cylinders across a full season and that they don't flame out, which I don't think they do. But you know what I mean? Like, I think that they set the bar very high for themselves. So how do you keep matching that and exceeding it, you know, when we get to game 60 and 70 and 80.
Okay, well, let me ask you this question then. With one regulation loss in a quarter of the season, that puts them at 4 regulation losses for the year. I don't think they'll have 4, but 8 is the lowest number of regulation losses in a 80 or more regular season. The 1976-77 Montreal Canadiens went 68 and 12 ties. So do you think Colorado could challenge this 8th regulation loss for the Montreal Canadiens of 76-77?
I will be shocked if they did. I'm sure we're going to see them collect a couple more losses, because I think, too, as the year goes on, more teams are going to scout them. And you see it all the time where teams raise their level to play the best, right? Because you can't just go in and play on your heels. You know what you're going up against. So I won't be surprised if there's going to be these random spoiler games. And I don't necessarily mean like, oh, the Dallas Stars are going to take a game off them or two. I'm sure they will. It's going to be random teams like the Blackhawks and the Sharks. They're someone you don't expect that just picks off the Avs on a random night. I also think with the goaltending situation, like, I'm going to be curious to see how they get Mackenzie Blackwood some more starts, because yeah. Wedgwood has still been playing the greater share and he's been excellent. Can he keep that up over an 82 game season? I'm not so sure. And what do you do to kind of shake the rust off Blackwood and get him up to pace too? Does that mean a couple more losses along the way? Like, I think there are things that could contribute to it.
Well, speaking of goaltending, there's two ways to look at it. Great or not so great. So we can do the Islanders and the Habs here. New York is on an almost unbelievable run right now. They just capped a 6-1 road trip. It's only the second time they've ever had six wins on the same road trip in their franchise history. They smoked the Wings last night, 5-0. This team looks well-oiled, to say the least, Shayna.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And it's coming from everywhere, right? It's not just, okay, Barzal is popping off and dragging this team along or something like that. Like, Bo Horvat looks amazing. I think no matter who they put on his line, that line's going. And players like Heinemann, they look really strong. And you're getting contributions up and down the lineup for the Islanders. You're getting it from the back end, obviously, with Schaefer. I think that's really promising. I'm going to be so intrigued to see how they proceed this year, because there's so much parity and everyone has a loser points and everything's so tight. So it's going to be tougher for teams to go, okay, we still need to take a step back, right? Like, the Islanders, I think, still have the big picture in mind. So what do they do to take themselves out of things? Kind of like how the Bruins did last year. You think back a couple seasons ago with the Flyers, right? The process outweighed what was going on in that moment. So what happens with guys like Lee and Pageau, and how far down do they strip things to turn it around quicker? Or do they just keep going and you say, you know what? Ride the wave while you have it. It's hard to win in this league.
And then conversely, Montreal now, I mean, it's really problematic, Marty.
Yeah, what do you do with Montreal, Shayna? Because, like, I watched Montembeau last night. Like, he's off angle. He's guessing. It's not going well. Dobesh last year did the same thing. Had a strong start to his season, but it was around Christmas. Then had a big dip. He looks to have his dip. Fowler's doing great in the American League. Like, do they give Fowler a quick look to see if maybe he can spark something?
Yeah, I think you have to try literally everything. Throw the kitchen sink at this point, because Dobish was playing so well in October, and I think you're starting to see his game taper off, which is reasonable for someone of his experience. And, you know, he set the bar so high for himself to keep doing that, right, and having to be the guy. It's a lot different when you're coming in saying, okay, you're the 1B, just thrive in your minutes, I think. And with Montembeau, I like that there were a couple games they were like, you know what, he'll still get the two consecutive starts. Maybe just get him in that repetition and that will help. Well, it's not helping. Literally, nothing is helping. And while the defense hasn't been perfect, I think offensively the goaltenders haven't had enough support at times. I think there was a few games back, you go when they went down like 3-0 in the first period to the Flyers, and they ended up pulling even. And I think they still lost the game in the end. But they had like one shot in the first period. So it goes both ways. Like, the team needs to do more for their goaltenders, but I just think both goalies, especially Montembeau right now, are letting him down. So maybe you do try it, right? Like, you have to experiment with everything right now.
Connor Hellebuck, talking about goalies. He is getting a arthroscopic knee surgery, a little scope. Will be out 4 to 6 weeks. Winnipeg has 24 points right now. They're sitting third in the Central. But when you look at the Western Conference, Minnesota's got the same amount of points, and they're out of a playoff spot. So what do you do? Do you ride Eric Comrie for 4 to 6 weeks? Or do you look to maybe bring an experienced guy that maybe somebody has in the American League just to go, you know, and give him a little support?
Yeah, I think with the Wild playing better after such a terrible start, they're what, like 7-2-1 in their last 10 or something like that. You're like, okay, now that's starting to come together. And while I'm not completely sold on them, you don't want to give up any room, because the Central Division is so tight. I won't be surprised if we see 5 Central Division teams make it this year. So if you're Winnipeg, I think you have to start and see what happens. And it's very good that they have players like Lowry back and Sandberg, because when they started the season through the month of October, their two-way numbers were really concerning, but their shooting percentage was great and so was the goaltending, so everything was fine. Now I think you're already seeing their 5-on-5 game improve, because they have two of their, not just best defensive players on their team, but two of the best defensive players in the league are back. So start with that. see how the team can pick up the pace to support goaltending in different ways. And I think that's a great challenge for them heading into the playoffs when we consider what's gone on with Hellebuck, right? Like, can you do it without someone who's going to save 40 plus goals above expected and, you know, across probably 60 something starts? And if it doesn't work out, then you have to go back to the drawing board, because you don't want it that, you know, you set yourself back any further than necessary. You don't want to set it up that in the Central, it's so competitive, like every point matters. In some, you know, divisions, if you're the third seed, it doesn't matter. Here, it actually might, because if you're top three, like, you're getting one of Dallas or Colorado probably. And I think that spells trouble.
Yeah. Well, Dallas is the last point for me. We spent an entire day back in the summertime here on Sabres Live talking about the future slash availability perhaps of Jason Robertson. He now has 9 goals in the last 5 games. What is his next contract going to look like in your opinion?
I mean, I would assume he gets to that $10, $11 million range. I don't think he's going to hit the $12 million mark necessarily that a guy like Rantanen did in Dallas, right? Because I think you could say, even though we should be looking at things by cap hit percentage, that was a contract sign knowing the cap was going to rise, and it's like an internal cap of sorts for forwards. And I think that would be reasonable because Rantanen's a guy that brings in the playoffs. Robertson could do a little bit more, although I liked his game when he returned against Edmonton last spring. So I think that's your internal cap for Dallas. I think that $11 million range is probably the sweet spot because he's really good, he's young, and I think he has a high ceiling, and he's showing it too. Like, I think in the beginning of his career, he was one of the guys on that line, and he has shown he can be the guy in the top six that they need him to be. But I think outside of Dallas, say they decide to trade him, that's when the number is really going to go up past that $12 million mark. I think when you look at the options available, and if you want a player that's that MVP or franchise level, you probably have to go to the trade market at this point, because free agency just doesn't work like it used to. So I think you're going to have to overspend a little bit there. And those are the players to overspend on.
Okay, so what is Adam Fantilli going to get? Because he is in the last year of his entry-level deal. And, I mean, boy, when you watched him against the Leafs last night, he always plays well in Toronto. Obviously, he's from that area. But that was a Fantilli show last night at the game.
Yeah, and I think he got off to a little bit slower of a start than maybe anyone anticipated, but I think he's really, really pulled it together over the last couple of weeks. So I think he could go for, you know, that Logan Cooley category of deal that we're going to see these young guns get. And that's the time to invest in the players, because you're going for future returns, you're going for present returns. I think that it's tough because there's going to be obviously different restraints on contracts, and there's that 6-year cap, but I would give this player, you know, just go big or go home at this point, because I think he is a franchise cornerstone and they obviously have the cap space to do it.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. He's a $10 million guy next year.
I know,
year,
and so that's the thing, then. They're going to have, eventually, they're still going to milk this for a little while, but they have Marchenko on the best deal in the NHL. So, yep. You know, it's going to be really interesting. Like, once you commit to Fantilli, yep, you're going to have to go even higher with Marchenko. Presumably, Fantilli's got 6 goals in his last 7 games. Shayna, thank you so much. Great insight. And
sorry for the glizzy slander. Won't do it again.
I'll accept the apology this time.
Thank you, Shayna. Our Thanksgiving food drive is happening before tonight's game here at KeyBank Center, and it's right outside the box office during pregame. So between 5 and 7, bring in your non-perishable items, canned goods, help support the Resource Council of Western New York. Everyone who donates can enter to win a team-signed jersey. Broadcasting legend Darren Pang coming up on this Hawks Sabres game day on Sabres Live.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Rolling right along here on Sabres Live. It's a game day, and we're entering into the holiday season. Want you to become a holiday angel. Support local families in need this season. It's presented by AMR. Holiday Angels lets you adopt a family, purchase gifts, or donate wrapping supplies. Every contribution makes a difference. Learn more at sabres.com/holidayangels. Tremendously special guest joining us here on Sabres Live. And you're going to get a kick out of this, Panger. Last year, I think it was, when John Davidson started making cameos on the Columbus broadcast with Mirzi, he was identified as John Davidson, broadcasting legend.
And
we feel like that's what you're bringing here today.
Yes.
So, great to see you, buddy. How
great
are you?
Great to see you both. Yeah, thanks for having me on. JD is a broadcasting legend, and it was great. I just watched his game on Monday. I'm like, you know what? He just steps in there so seamlessly, and it's like he never left it.
The voice is so recognizable, and it's awesome. But you are a legend of broadcasting as well. And we should say
means we're old.
A game legend, too. I mean,
thanks, Marty.
Part of the goalie union and everything. So have you put down the pads lately, or when's the last time? Because I did last year, and I came back and couldn't walk, so I think that's it.
I officially retired in the 2017 Winter Classic game at it was in St. Louis.
Yes,
and it was a beautiful. The game was unbelievable. St. Louis had Gretz and Hulley and Chaser and Federko, and I mean they went up and down the line, and I played for the Hawks even though I worked and broadcasted for the Blues.
Yep.
And I didn't want to do it at first, and it was Kelly Chase, the great Kelly Chase, that said to me, he goes, just put on the equipment. When are you going to get a chance to do that? And I said, well, what if they boo me?
Like, what if I stink?
What if I stink? And so anyway, I played that game one period, then Bannerman and Jimmy Waite played.
Yep.
And then after the game, the owners had a game afterwards, and I played for them. And as soon as that was done, I was done. I just
You signed your papers?
Yeah, I signed my papers. You know what, Marty? It's I've had 7 surgeries on my left knee.
Oh boy!
I had a knee replacement, and then I'm on this. This is the funniest thing. I'm getting ready for this Winter Classic. Here's how well prepared I was for it. I went on the ice once. They gave me all this new equipment. I left the ice. I put on my old equipment.
Yeah.
And because I couldn't move, and so. And then I get ready for the game. My mask is in the Hall of Fame on display. You know, that great display? So the Hall of Fame brings it for me. And then I put it on. Well, I wear glasses now. So I forgot that. I'm like, man, I forget that I wear glasses. And I'm like, can I put my glasses underneath it? And then that didn't fit because our face is a little fatter than when we played. Yeah. So that molded mask doesn't fit as well. So I take the glasses off. I get out there. I'm like, this is not fun.
I can't shoot.
So, answer your question, there's no goalie pads for me.
But Chicago, like, through it all, this incredible journey you've had. Chicago's in your heart, right? Like,
yes.
So we have to steer you to our social media poll today because you're going to be – you might be the definitive voice on this. What is, like, the Chicago food? Like, the best Chicago food item? Is it Italian beef?
Oh, is this a question?
Deep dish pizza? Chicago hot dog or Chicago popcorn mix?
Okay, I'm going to take the popcorn mix out, the hot dog out. I like the deep dish pizza. My wife loves the Italian beef. Portillo's is a place that we go to all the time.
Okay.
So, but I always get the cheeseburger with mustard and pickles. So, I mean, I don't like anything spicy.
Yeah.
I don't like all kinds of stuff on my hot dog.
Uh-huh.
I said
popcorn
that
gets stuck in your teeth.
Yeah,
the
not
popcorn
good for us.
Mix is like the salt and savory thing. It's the sweet and savory. But we had Shayna Goldman from The Athletic on in the previous segment, and she got angry at me because I said, I don't want my hot dog to be, as they put in the description, dragged through the garden, because that's really relish and pickle and this and that. And she's like, you are slandering the best option. And she was not happy with me.
Okay, so I'm going to throw another one at you then.
Okay.
You go to Chicago, How many steakhouses do we have?
Oh, a million.
150,000.
There's like 50 in like a 300-yard like court.
You know, I'm in River North, and I'm walkable to one of the most famous old classic steak joints that I'm sure that Al Capone and who knows, maybe the Wirtz's and the Reinsdorf's made deals in this little place, and it's called Gene and Giorgetti's.
Okay.
So I go there a lot, but the one that's getting a lot of notoriety for not great reasons, but it's a great spot is that Chicago Cut.
Okay.
Where a lot of teams go there, and that's where Jack Hughes ended up having head injury.
Oh, that's where
But you got Gibson's down.
I was going to say Gibson's is the one that, right there, that was a classic we used to go to.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Great city, and now emerging team. I mean, this is 10-4-3 in the last 17, despite last night's tough third period against Seattle.
Yeah.
What should people be expecting when they come through the doors here at KeyBank Center tonight to see these Hawks take on the Sabres?
Well, a team that now expects to win every night.
Yeah.
I can't believe how the culture has changed so rapidly. The expectation to come to the game every night and losing hockey is not good enough.
Yep.
I've really enjoyed Jeff Blashill and his coaching staff. You know, you've got Mike Pekka there, and all of a sudden the faceoffs are up. Connor Bedard's at 48% on the dots. He was at 34% for 2 years. So, that part of it. They look at Mike Pekka and they go, he's a 2-time Selke Award winner.
Yeah.
The entire Hawk franchise has 3. Troy Murray, Dirk Graham, and Jonathan Toews.
Wow.
And then you got Mike Pekka with the 2. So, instant, recognizability for the younger players too. And then Mike Vellucci is an outstanding coach. So it's a good group that right now says, okay, here's the clips from last night. See this play here, and it's not meant to be on one person. It's not direct. This is losing hockey. This play here, that's losing hockey. Hopeful, wishful plays. Let's just say you're cheating. Let's say you're cheating in the offensive zone, and they get a 3-on-2 break. That's losing hockey. And then three clips. Now that's winning hockey. And he balances it out. And I think the team understands that part of it without it being, two X's and O's every single night. He implemented a 1-1-3, so they got a bench locks. Bench side lock.
Mm-hmm.
There are some nights where all of a sudden the bench side lock winger will leave there, and it leaves a lane wide open, and all of a sudden the team's coming down your throat. It's like, whoa, what happened there?
Yep.
Well,
mm-hmm.
they're learning how to play the system, and it's not an easy system as well if you're an aggressive young team with a lot of good wheels. So, and then they're getting great goaltending, great goaltending from Spencer Knight and Arvid, and also big defenseman, big rangy defenseman. The penalty kill has been outstanding, and although the game-winning goal last night was a power play goal, but that was a heck of a play by Montour to Schwartz. So sometimes you got to give the other team a little bit of credit there too.
So a couple of things. Number one, the Sabres have never fared well against that 1-3-1, right? Remembered LA Kings coming in here and playing the 1-3-1, and it was always like they tried to skate through it, and you have to have a little bit of a chip and chase type of game against 1-3-1. So that, you're scaring me a little bit. Number two.
Well, they're more 1-1-3, so that might give you a little bit.
That's even more. Like, it's more sitting back. So
two goalies talking about
Marty's
system.
Still
that's
down
really
about
good.
The Bills last night, so he's having a tough time pulling himself up.
The other thing is, you mentioned Jimmy Wade playing in the alumni game, right? He's getting really good goaltending, but that was a very, very aggressive trade last year by Kyle Davidson to go and call Florida and say, we'll trade you Seth Jones, but we want Spencer Knight.
Yep.
And he has flipped it. Even when he played last year, he was a big difference in that. Yep. But we're not going to see him tonight. But what is one goaltender, and you know the position well, can do to an organization when you find that guy?
Yeah, I mean, even let's go to the Blackhawks before that. They win a cup in 10 with Antti Niemi. Mm-hmm. They had a great team. He played well when he needed to play.
Unique season, though, because they had Michael Layton and Bobby Boucher on the
other
side.
Remember game one of that final?
Exactly, yes.
And it was all talk about goaltending, and then game one ended up 6-5, and it was just like, oh my gosh, what is the rest of this thing going to be like?
Exactly. Had a different year, but Corey Crawford.
And they let him marinate almost 5 years in the minors, and then bang, he has the personality, and he had a little gumption to his game, too, to stir things up, and they go that way. When do you land upon a goaltender like this in a trade? It's not often.
No.
It's not often. You do all your research. You draft guys in the first round. That doesn't work out. You pick the best guy in the second round. Boy, 5 years later, that guy doesn't work out. To be able to pull that trade off, and not only that, but the first round pick that came over from Florida is this year.
Yeah.
It's not protected. Wow. And right now, I don't know where the standings are. I mean,
Panthers are just out of it right
now. Just out of it. And they'll climb up, and it'll end. But could you imagine if it didn't happen that way and you end up not only getting Spencer Knight, you pay 26%, I think, of Seth Jones' salary.
Yeah. Yeah.
They removed a really good player, but it was quite clear, in my estimation and his, that Seth didn't want any part of the rebuild.
The direction.
So it worked in – he had Dallas, he had Colorado, and he had Florida as the teams that he would go to. And the Florida Panthers, they hit it out of the park because they win a Stanley Cup. And,
right.
And the Hawks hit it out of the park. It was a great trade for both sides.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy. And Spencer Knight gets a chance to be the number one guy and take all the information he soaked in from Bobrovsky and bring it to a young team where he's really dependent on as a leader and is a leader both on and off the ice.
Those are all those trades that, you know, 15, 20 years down the road, you look back and you do try to focus on how each side was like. Yeah. And the most famous, obviously, is Calgary trading Brett Hull, right?
Yeah.
And they went on to win their cup. The guys they got from the Blues helped them win the cup, their only cup in franchise history, right? But then Hull was Hull and had the career that he had, right?
Yep.
And that's, you just have to be willing to make those trades.
Isn't it Bill Guerin that says, when I make a trade, I don't want to fleece the other team. I want to look for a situation where we're both going to be happy, because you know what? 2 years later, they're going to want to trade with me again because it is going to make my team better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You continue to fleece.
If
fleece
you continue, they won't call you anymore.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. I once understood that when Calgary made that trade, because I was part of the Blackhawks organization then, that I think they knocked on the door of Bob Pulford and asked, would you be interested in Brett Hull? We need a veteran goalie, Murray Bannerman, because it was Bob Mason and I were taking over, and Murray was near the end of it, but they wanted a veteran and a defenseman, and they wanted Gary Nyland.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Hawks said no, and the professor.
Yep.
Doc Caron?
Exactly.
In St. Louis,
in St. Louis said, I got Rob Ramage.
Yep, and Rick Walmsley.
And I got Rick Walmsley, a veteran goalie. And then, you know, all of a sudden they got Brett Hull, and Chicago didn't get Brett
Hull.
Now, Tyler Bertuzzi, he's got 10 goals. And I've been maybe very cold on Tyler Bertuzzi. Like, I always thought he's going to be really good. And then he just gives me a little bit. And it gives me a little bit. This year, he's filling the cup. Like, what is different with Tyler Bertuzzi this year? That he has more goals than Connor Bedard on the power play, same amount of points. He has 10 goals this year. Like, it's a big difference.
It's the clothing.
The clothing?
They're not mandated to wear a suit, so now he's more comfortable. He looks like he's trying out for Duck Dynasty when he comes into the rink. He's
more himself?
He's a Sudbury guy. He's a really simple guy that I didn't know about.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
I had no idea either. I'm in the same boat as you are, and I've told Tyler that. Didn't know him really.
Yeah.
I always felt like I went into every locker room, you know, as we all do, and I could never find him.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like in during the game, because between the benches a lot, he seems to always be walking down the hallway, changing gloves, coming back, going for a skate, coming back, and I'm like, I need to know more about this guy. So I got to know Dylan Larkin a little because I got a summer place in Michigan. So Larks and him are very, very good friends. He said, take care of my boy. And I said, take care of your boy? I can't find the guy, right? Unless I go duck hunting, I guess, I'll find him. And anyway, so I said that to Tyler Bertuzzi. I said, I got to get to know you, man. Everybody says you're this great guy. And so I have gotten to know him. And I've gotten to see how he is and how he loves the game of hockey, and he just does it differently. But I will say this, if you look back at last night's goal that was scored by Teravine, and the puck gets dumped into the right, I said on the air, no player in the NHL can play with one hand and stick better than Tyler Bertuzzi, right? No player. And he not only did he swipe at it, he got it on the heel of his stick with authority right over to Teravine, and it beat two Seattle Kraken players, and it's in the net. Next thing you know, he's on his knees somehow, and he scoops a puck from somebody. I said, no player in the NHL is as good on his knees as Tyler Bertuzzi. And then no player in the NHL can score off his skate or his shin pad better than Tyler.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
He's got that grease about him, but he's...
He's got you in his corner now is what he's got.
Yeah, he does. It's like I've come to really appreciate the game that he plays, because old school hockey is still about board battles.
Mm-hmm.
He wins board battles.
Yeah.
He keeps pucks alive. He knows when to flip it out. He doesn't make very many losing hockey mistakes.
Yeah.
That's what I like about him.
He's got 8 goals in his last 7 games.
Yep.
Panger, great to see you.
Yeah, you too.
We got to fly.
Thanks.
Have a great game tonight.
See you, buddy.
And safe travels.
Yeah. Goalie Union, Darren Pang.
Yeah, Darren
Love
Pang
it.
Joining us here. And we, of course, are celebrating Native American Heritage Month here and proud to feature our special edition jersey auction. We showcased those jerseys earlier in the week. It's presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. The auction closes on November 23rd, so just a couple of days away at 9 p.m. All proceeds benefiting the Western Door Hockey Program. Place your bid at Save.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sabres.com/auction. Back in a minute.
Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Quick reminder, our Thanksgiving food drive is happening before today's game. Sabres-Hawks right outside of the box office here at KeyBank Center. So during pregame, 5 to 7, bring in your non-perishable items, canned goods. Help support the Resource Council of Western New York. Everybody who donates can enter to win a team-signed jersey. Inching closer to game time here, we're winding down this portion of our Sabres Live poll, and the results so far, Marty.
Oh, it's a runaway.
Is it?
It's a runaway.
Is it a runaway?
Deep Dish Pizza is over 54%, almost at 55% now.
Despite Shayna's trashing of said Deep Dish
Yeah,
Pizza.
Yeah, she says it's tomato sauce in a
bread bowl.
Bread bowl. Like, and I get it. She's in New York, and New York has their own pizza.
Thin crust pizza, baby.
Yeah, so it's totally different, and I get it, but I love a good
and that's
deep
why
dish.
Buffalo pizza is the best, because it's a hybrid of the two.
It's a little
and it's amazing. So
I don't discriminate. When I go to New York, I enjoy the thin crust. Mm-hmm. When I go to Chicago, I enjoy the deep dish. That's the way it goes.
Amherst are home tonight. It's Hockey Fights Cancer Night. So if you can't be here, please be at Blue Cross Arena. It'll be a big night for the Amherst, who are without head coach Michael Leone for a couple of games this weekend. He's on a personal leave and expects to be back next week. Mm-hmm. Tobias Leinonen will be in goal. And obviously, they're looking to hop right back into the win column and get, once again, stay on pace with or step ahead of those teams that they share first place with in the North Division. As far as birthdays on this day, I want to say, like, friend of the show, Nick DeSimone.
Well,
he's 31, but like, I don't think technically he's been on our show in a while.
No, but he's friend of the community and friend of the 11-day power play, and not friend of the Sabres because he scored against us in the game in Utah. But yes, Nick DeSimone is 31. That's good for him. Alex Tanguay is 46. Colorado Avalanche and now an assistant coach around the NHL.
With the Red Wings, yes.
With the Red Wings. Mm-hmm. So that was with Blashill and Doug Yehuda and Alex Tanguay. They had a very shiny top of the head situation.
I was gonna say,
going on.
Maybe my favorite coaching staff of all time. Like, who's to say, really? Really quick on tonight. What do we got? Like, this is a Chicago team. Connor Bedard's gonna be motivated after taking the penalty that cost them the game last night.
Yes, he's gonna be motivated. But that's 2-for-2 now on back to back teams coming in that you should beat. So let's go.
See you tonight, 6:30, everyone.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.